Back when I was in college, my friend, let's call him Bryce because that was his name, he and I decided to go on a road trip. It was kind of spur of the moment. Our friend Joel, that's also his name, had moved to Oregon, and we hadn't seen him in a while. And so we decided we could take 9 days. That's about the minimum it would take to do all that driving there and back from Austin, and we would go on a road trip. We didn't really have a plan. We just knew where we were going to go. And so we drove as far as we could each day. It took us about 3 days to get up to Oregon, up near Grants Pass. We spent a few days there, and then we headed home pretty quickly. We made a big triangle. We went from Austin over to LA, up to Oregon, and then we kind of came back across Idaho and Colorado and other places. It was a great trip, and as much as I remember getting to see my friend's little cabin up in the mountains in Oregon, or taking a day trip down through the Redwoods and across the border into California and up to the Pacific coast, another part of that trip, and the part that might stick with me the most, is just the road tripping, the being in the car, the doing the thing. That's what really flavors the memory for me, makes it seem fun. I can think of those long hours in that car ride and how we really enjoyed it. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Andrew, it's April. Why are you waxing poetic about road trips? Well, because it's part of our topic this week. You see, this week's guest speaker is TCEA's own Dr. Bruce Ellis. And recently in our Tech Notes blog, he wrote a post with some tools, some tech ideas, and some general ideas to help you plan your summer getaway. That's right, your summer getaway. You see, summer is gonna be here before you know it. You know how the end of the semester goes. It goes pretty fast. You're gonna have a lot to do between now and May and June, and I'm sure you're gonna have a lot to do over July and August. But you're also gonna get some time to refresh, reconnect, renew, or just relax. So this week, we're looking ahead to summer with Dr. Bruce Ellis. He's gonna tell us about some ideas to help you do that, how it might even improve your teaching and your work. So grab yourself a pair of cheap shades at your local gas station while you're gassing up the car. Get all the snacks you need and get ready for this meeting of the EdTech Club where we talk about how to take advantage of the upcoming summer. That's what we're talking about in this meeting, and it all starts right now. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. As I said, this week, our old friend Dr. Bruce Ellis stops by, our guest speaker in the club this week, telling us about how educators can take advantage of the upcoming summer, which is coming faster than you know it. But I don't have to talk much about that because that's why Bruce is here. So we'll throw it right over to our talk with Bruce. Our listeners will be hearing this in April. And while April might not feel exactly like it's close to summer, those 2 months are going to go by pretty quick. And there's going to be a lot to do in April and May and probably June, July, and August as well. But now that we've also been in this remote or mixed or distant or somehow changed learning environment now for 2 full semesters, a whole school year, summer might really be different this year, especially as people begin to get vaccinated and things around the country begin to open up again. It might be a really important time for educators to, you know, really use summer to their advantage to learn something new or to decompress or to rejuvenate in some way. And you recently wrote a blog post for our Tech Notes blog on this very subject, on figuring out what you're going to do with your summer. So as you sat down and thought about this, what were your takeaways as you thought ahead to the end of the semester and the beginning of that summer break?
Yeah, so this past year, probably like most people, I did not go any place, and cabin fever set in fairly quickly. So this year I am doing a little bit of traveling just so I don't go stir crazy.
Right.
And I'm a person that if I'm in the car, I like to either have music on or something to listen to that's interesting. So earlier, just last month, I drove to South Carolina to see a couple of friends and, you know, gone to Denver once to see a friend. And what I found is I've got a lot of time that I could use to listen, you know, to music. And there's, if I'm around home, I know what radio stations I like to listen to. But when I'm outside of that little range, sometimes there are no good radio stations to listen to, or it's just too cumbersome to keep scrolling through the dial to try to find something. And so I realized or re-remembered that, oh yeah, I've got to download some stuff ahead of time, whether it's audiobooks or some podcasts that I can listen to, that just to make the driving more enjoyable, more pleasant, and also hopefully to actually get something out of the drive, not just the scenery, but when I get to the destination, I've also learned some things and use my time wisely. So,
yeah, I think a lot of people in the last few years were starting to take advantage of things like audiobooks and podcasts, where things that might otherwise have been just, we won't say wasted time, but, you know, not maximized time when you're commuting or doing this or that, you know, running errands, you can enrich all of that time. And I guess when we think about moving out of a semester and into the summer, you know, we're thinking a lot about our in-service hours and professional development opportunities and other work we do and things like that. But we're also thinking about these ways to sort of enrich that free time, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's probably changed a little bit since we've all been cooped up, right? Like that's, you sort of framed it that way of, you know, haven't gone anywhere this year. And I certainly know the feeling. Do you think it'll feel a little different in terms of being able to take advantage of our time, or have we learned things about how we use our time that might help us do that kind of enriching?
Well, I know for me, I'm an introvert by nature. I like to be out with people, but I do have to withdraw to recharge. And
so, yeah, it takes energy.
Yeah. So there is something that's nice about being when we were happen to be, or if we're going to happen to be sometime soon, back in a group setting. But there's also just a lot of tension that kind of goes with that. Is this good for me? Or I now have an elderly parent that I'm visiting or taking care of, or just various things. And so I've got to kind of think of how I'm using my time a little bit differently than I did before the pandemic started. And so instead of just listening to music, which I do enjoy, I do find that I want to listen to, if I can't be with people, I want to listen with people, or at least connect with people in a virtual sense, whether that's an online setting that's asynchronous, or, you know, it could be a virtual setting where there are sporadic in webcam meetings, so to speak. And so it still kind of gives me that face-to-face connection when I can get that. But when I need to step back and recharge just for my introverted self, then I feel like, oh, okay, I can still do that. And I don't have to be feeling bad. You know, I'm at this convention, and for me to back up out of this space, I'm losing learning opportunity. Now it seems like those learning opportunities are easier to take advantage of because they don't come as a conveyor belt where, you know, once you pass it, or once it passes you, you can't go reclaim it. So you have three options or eight options of what's at this hour. You get to choose one. Hopefully you made a good choice and you liked it. It just seems like with what I'm kind of relearning, or maybe realizing for the first time, is that, you know, podcasts have more value to me than I realized. And then just that online component that I have gotten a lot more used to really offers me a chance to jump into multiple things. That I jump into one, and if it's not floating my boat like I'd hoping it to, then I can always jump out and jump back into something. If I'm in an in-person conference, it may be a little bit more cumbersome to do that, you know, because typically if I am doing that at a conference, I'm going to try to sit at the back along with everybody else that's trying to sit at the back so they can make a quiet exit. But then that doesn't mean that you can slip into the next session quietly if it's already going on. That, you know, usually you have to go squeeze into a seat in the middle of a row up near the front and everybody sees you. So, you know, when we're on a trip, it really gives us the benefit of what fits my style of learning, whether it's I need to pause it or whether I just want something that's completely online that I can jump into at different times. How interactive do I want to be with people? Do I want there to be, you know, do I want something where there's some chats and virtual meetups, or do I want something where it's just, hey, I've got a drive, I'm not really able to have a conversation right now, but I just want somebody to talk to me, or I want to listen in on a conversation that some people are having while I'm driving to make it more pleasant, more enjoyable.
And it seemed like for so long, a lot of people, including us, were talking about how technology has the power to augment learning. It has the power to make it accessible, to diversify and differentiate in different ways, you know, and as you say, and as we know, people are going to learn in different ways. In fact, we were forced to think critically about how technology can help because of the lockdowns and because of the pandemic. But at the same time, I think a lot of educators have started thinking, well, wait a minute, I also need to take a moment to do an assessment on myself, you know, and figure out how I learn, figure out what's going to connect with me. So I think it's very interesting to see that smart logic of reaching a learner kind of applied inward, you know, for your personal development or your professional development. And I think that's kind of a theme we've seen lately.
Yeah.
Now, one thing you mentioned with podcasts is, of course, they're great to listen to on trips. Now, we know that, you know, vaccine rollouts and reopenings are kind of been happening a little unevenly. It's going to be different from place to place and situation to situation. Some folks out there listening have already been back in person. Some people will be going back in person. Some staff development might happen remotely. Some might happen in person. You know, we really don't know what's going to happen over the course of the summer into the fall. But one thing we might get to do this year is travel. So you talked a little bit about, you know, thinking about a getaway and some ways to do that as well, which I think teachers and all educators probably sorely need at this point.
Definitely so. And that's something that I kind of took for granted, because if I was traveling for work, I had a destination that was already assigned, so to speak. But in this instance, where I'm not traveling for work, I'm traveling just to get away from my own sanity, or just a different scenery, or just to be with some family for maybe a short staycation or a vacation or whatever it might be. You know, I was looking at my phone going like, wow, I have no apps that can really help me with this, because Google Maps is like, okay, where do you want to go? And it's like, well, I'm not sure, you know, am I?
Yeah.
So, you know, I did come across an app called Road Trippers. It was really nice because it, I mean, of course you can get your destination in there, but it's going to highlight things along the route for you. And then you can kind of pick and choose to say, okay, when I get to this point, I want to veer off 20 minutes off the road and I want to go to this place. And, you know, it could be a cultural place. It could be a museum. It could be some type of camping site, some type of historical site. Or it could be just a really good eatery that's on there. And so they make it really fun to say, hey, okay, it's this, you know, I'm not going to Disney World, but this is kind of exciting getting to plan my own trip. Where am I going to stop along the way? What am I going to look at? And so instead of just saying, hey, kids, we've got 7 hours before we get to Grandpa's house, you know, we can say, okay, in 2 hours, we're going to stop here and we're going to do this. And then another hour and a half down the road, we're going to veer off and this little scenic outlook, and we're going to take a picture. And so you can really break up the road trip to make it really more enjoyable. And it's really the fun thing about whether we're by ourselves or with people, is the experiences that we make. And then how do we share those experiences? And so Road Trip really, they really curated a lot of content across various apps so that as you're planning your trip, you can say, oh, I've never been to the state and I didn't know that there was this, you know, whatchamacallit museum and...
giant ball of twine.
That's right. Giant ball of twine or whatever it happens to be. And sure, let's take a look at it. It just sounds kind of wacky and interesting and fun. And if nothing else, I now have a story about how I have a selfie next to this huge ball of twine, you know. But if you're going to meet somebody, I've got a good bit of friends that live in different places. And sometimes you don't want to drive all the way because that's a little bit too much, too draining. But it's like, hey, if I drive halfway, would you be willing to drive halfway? Then it's a little bit more enjoyable. You're not taxed so much. And there's an app called Meetways that allows you to you put in your location and their location, and it'll make some suggestions.
Oh, you know, that's really neat.
Yeah. So do you want to meet up at a restaurant? Do you want to meet up at an entertainment place? What type of place do you want to meet up at? And then it will give you some recommendations. So no one is having to drive all the way. You both have kind of a similar investment in the vehicle.
That's very clever. I like the idea of that. I mean, obviously not all of our listeners live in the great state of Texas, but those who do will know that, you know, if you live in Austin and you have friends in the Metroplex in Fort Worth or Dallas, that's your whole day. If you wanted to go see them and come back, that's it. You're done. You can't do anything else that day. You know, if they live in the Panhandle and you live in Brownsville, it might be really useful to, you know, meet that's somewhere. Right. So that's pretty neat. And it's nice to have tools that do that kind of thing. What else did you discover? Are there any other things that really jumped out to you as particularly useful?
Yeah. I didn't think much about this until I was going to South Carolina and I drove. But I just assumed, okay, all the gas prices are kind of like what I pay here around my house. Only to find out, whoa, this state has their prices are a lot higher. I wish I would have known that. I would have got gas 30 miles ago back in the previous state, you know, so I can get through the state before I have to fill up again. GasBuddy is a great tool to do that, so you can get some ideas of what gas prices are along a route, and so you can plan ahead. You know, with anything, especially if you're going to be driving with kids or older folks, AAA may be a good investment to put in there. Since we drive a lot at TCEA and travel a good bit, I've had AAA. And, you know, there was one time I was coming back from Amarillo and I had a phone conference and I meant to stop. I meant to tell the person, oh, I need to stop the phone conference about 10 minutes in so I can get gas. Well, we got to talking and really enjoying the conversation about EdTech. And before I knew it, I was at the end of the phone conference and also about out of the end of gas. And there are no gas stations around me. So I'm starting to sweat and going like, oh, great. You know, maybe there'll be another town. I'm too far. I can't go back. I'm going to run out of gas. So, but the next town, you know, they had nothing. And so I had to finally stop before I completely ran out of gas, call AAA, and they brought me 2 gallons of gas and said, you know, 15 miles ahead, you can get to a gas station. And yeah, it's like, whew, I'm glad I had this because it was a hot summer day and it was like 106. And I was going like, I really don't care to walk.
Yes.
You know, 15 miles to find somebody and just say, look, I just need some gas. So, and you know, it, like I said, if you have a flat tire or you need towing or something, it just definitely makes it handy. I had to take care of that. I've had to take advantage of that a couple of times over the past 15 years that I've had that. So yeah, there are other services similar to that, but it just kind of gives you peace of mind. Other than podcasts that you produce here at TCEA, I do like listening to mysteries and sometimes educational podcasts. Depends on, you know, if they're like 7 hours long, if I'm listening to a book, I really need it to be somebody who's narrating with a lot of inflection and things. So I may have to go through several books to find one I'm going like, okay, this one I can listen to for 3 hours and be good. Audible and Scribd are both good for that. Very similar platforms. It's just different ways that they've set them up. Audible is, with your subscription, you get one book a month. At least that's the subscription I used to have. Once you finish your subscription with Audible, you get to keep those audiobooks. Scribd, on the other hand, they do a different marketing strategy. They say you have access to everything, but when you leave us, you know, it's kind of like an old girlfriend. You don't get to keep anything. And so she takes everything. And so it just depends on, you know, do you want, is it a book that you want to keep listening to? Or is it something that you just say, I need it in the moment, but I'm probably not going to go back to it. Or if I need to go back to it, I can find other ways to. And that has been super helpful on trips, because then I can have a variety of things already downloaded, or I can stream them if I need to do that. And if one of them, if I start getting tired of one of them, I can always jump to the other and I don't have to worry about, you know, searching the web to find something to listen to. So those are two really good options.
It reminds me, it's like the contemporary equivalent of when we were younger and somebody would have like a 6 CD changer.
That's right.
And you were like,
that's right.
Well, okay, not bad.
Yeah. Or even before that, you know, somebody would try to impress you and they'd open up like their glove box and you'd say, "Ooh, you've got 10 8-track cassettes. You know, we are going to have some good times listening to this." And then, you know, those days are.
Or like a double tape deck, you know, something fancy like that.
That's right. And unfortunately, there are going to be some of our listeners that are going like, "What's an 8-track tape? You know, what's that?"
Well, it's just like a regular cassette tape, but different.
That's right. That's
what's
right.
A cassette tape? What's a tape? Yeah. So as we look ahead and think about how we might seize the summer and take advantage of these things, obviously some really cool tools and some ways to sort of make the most of that time. I guess if you had to reflect about what you think educators might benefit from thinking about when they're taking advantage of this personal time to use it to their full advantage as they go back and they're gearing up for a fall semester that's just going to be different in even more ways we don't know about yet. How would you like them to be? How would you like them to feel when they're coming out of that summer? You know, what's the purpose of all of this?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the unknown space that we're in is, on the administrative side, the planning side within districts, it is where are we going to put our eggs? Which basket are we going to put our eggs in? Are we going to put some here and some there? Who knows what it will be like in 5 months or 6 months or whatever it is. And so, you know, the goal, though, would be at the end of summer, if I'm a teacher at the end of summer, I hopefully have had some enjoyable time. I've gotten energized and I'm excited about teaching again. I'm hopeful about teaching. I'm reminded about what I love about teaching, even when it may be in a method that's not my favorite, whether that's face-to-face or online. So really as a teacher, it's just what is going to help propel me to get to that place where I say, you know, I'm rested and I'm ready to go. I'm energized and I am ready for this year. The district will hopefully provide some meaningful things for you, but they may not hit the nail on the head. And so that's hopefully where we can provide some options for teachers you as the listeners can take a look at and say, ooh, these really look like they're going to help me where I want to go and help me in areas that, wow, if you would have asked me before this past year, I wouldn't have thought this was a really important area of my learning or of my teaching. And yet, with the experiences we've had this year, it's really highlighted maybe some deficits that I have that I need to shore up. or maybe some interests that I have that I go, I really enjoyed this year. I want to go further in these areas. And so, I think we have a good lineup of options for our listeners to plan ahead, plot those out, and really get to a place where they feel rested and relaxed, but also energized and just remembering why they love teaching, and I'm ready to go back, and this is going to be a great year.
Yeah. I think, one of the things with everything changing over the course of a whole year is there's so much new information, there and so many new experiences, which is often overwhelming, but is useful. We can draw on that. Like you say, maybe you learned something that you didn't know about your teaching that, oh, I actually really flourish when I do this, and I wasn't doing it before because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Or maybe I learned that I was holding myself back by doing this certain technique or using this certain tool or whatever it was, and I actually am more efficient this other way, So it can be hard to parse all of that, but taking the time to sort of, let your brain relax and become elastic again and start to absorb new stuff can be really beneficial.
That's right. And, different people have different time frames. Even during the summer, the joke is, why do teachers teach? And that's so they can have the summer off. But I know even when I was a teacher, I was doing things during the summer prepping for the next year. Kind of taking care of myself and planning like, these new standards have come out that I've got to address or these other things. And so while I may not be spending, 40 hours a week working on that during my summer, I definitely was thinking of it in the back of my head during off times and then was purposefully focusing on that at different times, knowing that if I can invest a little bit here and there, it will really pay off once August gets here and my kids are back. And I'm going like, because what I don't want to happen is come August, my kids are coming back, and I look back and go, wow, I wish I would have taken advantage of such and such. And why didn't I use my time differently? And that's just not a... That's not a fun place to be because you can't tell the kids, wait, I need a pass. I need a redo, stay home for another week and then we'll start. And then you and I will start school. It just doesn't, unfortunately it doesn't work like that. So.
Well, I think we've shared some pretty good ideas for helping folks take advantage of the summer. I love the idea of, road tripper where maybe you just for whatever reason have to go from point A to point B, but now you know what's along the route, and that's, I don't want to draw too pained a metaphor, but that's kind of what education is about. You don't have to know every detail, but if you can think or if you have enough information, you might be able to find all those little opportunities along the route, even though all you had to do was go from A to B.
Yeah. And I would also just encourage teachers, as they're doing road trips, whether it's kind of daycations or whether it's a little bit longer ones, take lots of pictures because heaven forbid we're in the same situation again next year. Sometimes seeing those pictures really helps you remember the enjoyable times you had that you made happen, which is important when you can't make some things happen. And so it's a fun way of kind of reliving, even though it may be like right now, I go to the store, I come home, and that's my staycation,
It's an exciting outing.
Yes, it is. Which aisle will I go on today? Not island, but aisle in the grocery store. And so just having some of those selfies or pictures or whatever it is to look back on can really help make the moment that we happen to be in then a little bit more enjoyable and, just remembering the good times if we happen to be not in a good time. whenever that is.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Well, I think that's excellent advice. And Dr. Ellis, I really appreciate you taking a little time just to talk us through it. I think it's kind of bolstering to think ahead to this opportunity the summer presents to unwind a little bit. Like I say, get that brain back into a more plastic state and use it to our advantage. So definitely thank you so very much, Bruce.
Yep. And, you know, as teachers, if they haven't already looked on our website for events and activities, they can just go to tcea.org. We'll have a rotating banner of different highlights of activities that are going on. And we also have our events calendar, so they can kind of take a look and see what's going on next month or month after next if they're trying to plan something ahead. So plenty of resources that we have available that can make their trip more enjoyable. And then they can fill in the sprinkle in some things in between, you know, our podcast or online courses, whether that's their own playlist or fun games to play in the car with the kids or whatever it happens to be.
And speaking of all those great summer-centric resources Bruce mentioned, well, you don't have to go far to find them. They're in the description for this episode of the podcast. While you're there, by the way, don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and rate the show if you're a fan. It really helps us out, helps spread the word. And if you're really jazzed about getting the most from your summer, and if you happen to be an elementary educator, well, consider our Elementary Technology Conference, a tech conference made just for elementary educators. You don't have to dig around and find the sessions that are right for you. At this conference, they are all right for you. So learn more about it, how you can get registered, and do so before the prices increase on May 1st. Check out all the info at elementary.tcea.org. And since you're a member of the club, we wanted to give you a little opportunity for some extra credit. Here's how you can do it. If you're out road tripping anytime soon, this spring, this summer, if you're doing it for work or pleasure, whatever you're doing, if you're out there on the road and you find fun and unique things, things you want to remember, things you want to shoot a picture of, well, don't forget to share that with us. You can find TCEA on all your favorite social media applications. And if you're out there, you've got a great pick of some summer learning, some summer traveling, some summer ideas, share it with us. You can send it to us on Twitter at TCEA. Whatever you do, just tag us, share your ideas. And if you've got ideas for this podcast, don't forget to share them at podcast@tcea.org. But hey, that's a lot to look through, that's a lot to go through, and that's a lot of extra credit. So that's it for this week's meeting of the EdTech Club. Of course, we'll be back next week with even more ideas to make the most of your teaching. But until that time, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.